I'm a fighter and I never give up when it comes to that. I always try to make like healthy steps. I really believe that he can win these big races. He's mentally really strong and has also a strong team behind him. So seriously, I asked my mechanic the other day and it's for sure not possible. Like,
with exclusive interviews and the best analysis on two wheels, this is the Telegraph Cycling Podcast.
Hello, my name is Daniel Freib and this is a special edition of the Cycling Podcast, a pre-Tour of Flanders solo special. Solo because I'm not with my usual partners in crime, Richard Moore and Lionel Burney, this evening. They'll be joining me in Belgium on Sunday, along with our great friend Ciro Scognamiglio of La Gazzetta dello Sport. Ciro, I understand, is being held at an undisclosed location somewhere near the coast this evening. It being Ciro, it had to be near a beach of some description, but in their absence, I've been talking to some of the riders who will no doubt be key protagonists on Sunday, some of the favourites. Among them was John Degenkolb of the giant Alpecin team. Degenkolb, the recent winner of Milan-San Remo, of course, will be looking to add a second monument to his palmarès on Sunday. I spoke to John at the Giant Alpecin Team Hotel in a place called Nazareth, near Ghent this afternoon. Just before we hear from John, I would like to remind you, you can become a friend of the Cycling Podcast for the measly sum of £5. You can find details of how to do that and how to access our Cobbled Classic special on thecyclingpodcast.com. So now we're going to hear from John Degenkolb. Like I said, one of the big favourites for Sunday's race. I spoke to him about Flanders, Peter Sagan and assorted other business. So here I am talking to Degenkolb on Friday afternoon in Nazareth, near Ghent.
Tour of Flanders is like, the final is really hard and you go at, 60, 70k to go, I think you pass... We passed Quaremont and afterwards Paterberg, Koppenberg, Steenbeck, Dries, Teilenberg. It's like super hard climbs from this moment on in a really short period. And it's really, I don't think that we go with a big bunch to the end. And there's a chance that there will be a group, especially with the wind, what was on Thursday, that we have headwind towards Oudenaarde, then it can be different, and it's hard for guys who try to make a solo to arrive in the finish. But they also say they predict not so hard wind, but still from the same direction. We will see. I actually hope that there's a sprint and we can sprint there. I mean, that's also the scenario what I would prefer, and would say that I have the best chances to make the best result. Awesome.
Yeah. John, you've done, I think you've done under 23 Flanders or the grown-up Flanders 7 times now. Do you consider yourself to be pretty experienced?
It sounds like, I mean, I was also pretty surprised when I counted back, and it's like, it's already 8 years in a row. I'm around Eastern here in Flanders, so it's like a tradition already.
You said last year that you didn't think, it was obvious you didn't have the level at the end, that you weren't good enough. But then the previous year you'd been ninth and, you know, on the same course, so it wasn't a case of, you know, not being mature enough last year, not being developed enough.
I don't know. I mean, I was last year the race developed like. We went up the second time Quaremont and Paterberg, Koppenberg, and it was pretty high speed, and the pace was already high. And on Teinberg, there was a breakaway then gone, and I could sit in there, so I could manage to be there. But then the climb afterwards on Kreuzberg, I was just not strong enough to hang on there, and I got dropped, and then came back. And I mean, I'm a fighter, and I never give up when it comes to that. And in these races, it's never over till it's over, and you always have to keep on fighting, hang on. And could be also the same scenario this year. I don't know. It depends. It depends totally.
British Eurosport, the home of cycling.
When you compare Flanders to San Remo, I mean, my first San Remo, I got fifth, and my first Flanders, I finished somewhere really back in the bunch. And obviously, there's a difference between these races, and I love them both. And I also love, of course, the race next week. But yeah, it's always step by step, and that's how my whole career is built on. So that I try to get step by step better, but I only make first the first step and then the second step, and not the other way around. So it's really depending on how the race is going there as well. I mean, it's also it will be different, because last year everybody was looking at Fabian all the way in the race, and he's a really experienced guy and he knows where to ride. So everybody is also orientating themselves on Fabian. So as long as you are close to Fabian, everything is all right. So, and that's how many guys racing, and that will change now also a lot, because they have not some kind of orientation point.
You're listening to the Telegraph Cycling Podcast, brought to you by Van Dessel Cycles. Van Dessel, ride inspired.
It's really impressive what Alex is doing at the moment, and I think he's really on a high level, and that means that many guys are looking at him, and they have also then the responsibility to control the race, and I think they have a strong team, and they are able to, but in the final it's really depending how many guys he has still with him and how many guys can support him, but because everybody will look at him in the end, and like it looks now, they won't ride him to the finish and say, yeah, okay, now we can make a sprint. How he sprinted in the Panne, for example, it was very impressive. And
John, go back 3 or 4 years, Sagan kind of burst onto the scene. He was a guy with similar abilities to yours, a quick guy, and also could go over these climbs. What do you make of his performances like this year, and what do you make of all the talk of him being in crisis, you know, because he can't win these big races?
I really believe that he can win these big races, and it's also a matter of luck, and a matter of how he acts in the races, and yeah, maybe he could have done some things better in a more smarter way to make a better result. But I think still, I mean, he's really a strong rider. He's mentally really strong, and has also a strong team behind him. So I still see him as one of the top favorites. And of course, they dropped him in Idri just before the finish line, but yeah, every race is different, and every time when you put the numbers on the back, you start from zero. Then everything has to be perfect to win the race, and it's never gonna be easy. You see it like in San Remo, it was like probably best race what we've done ever, and then the next weekend was just horrible. It was crap.
Your team's race.
Yeah, last weekend, like both races. You have once bad luck, and then you crash, and then you suffer from the crash, and you're mentally a bit cracked, and then it goes so quick from really far on top to really to the bottom, and that's basically how it is in cycling. And if you are strong enough mentally, then you always can come back.
People talk about Sagan's confidence or a lack of confidence, so he's lost a bit. If you look through your career, it doesn't look like you've ever really had a period of crisis, or certainly not of confidence. Is that a fair assessment?
It's maybe also I the point was also that I maybe didn't start that quickly, that I didn't make, like I said, I always tried to make like healthy steps, like step by step, and try to make my career growing in a healthy way, and that's something what gives you a really a good setup and a backup, and sets a good base, and maybe that's also something what he's now missing, to just concentrate himself on the basics. I think that's really important, that you are constantly you have your plan, what you're following. If you do that, then every year you can continue with that and try to improve it also a little bit. And
British Eurosport, the home of cycling.
Okay, just on this mechanical doping issue seems to be gathering momentum. Motors in bikes. What do you make of it? You think it might have happened?
Seriously? I asked my mechanic the other day, and I asked him if it's just technical anyway possible, and he thinks that it's for sure not possible, like that you have all the way in the race an advantage, because they have to hide the batteries, and then the batteries must be so small that you just don't have really a big advantage. Maybe, I don't know, if there's a way to hide it in the frame, then it's for sure only like this thing what they have in the car, like this booster or something like that. But I don't know. I really don't know. I have no idea. I can't imagine. Lachgas. Lachgas Einspritzung am Auto. Like the what? Yeah, the nitro. Yeah, yeah, genau. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like they push the button and then for maybe 500 meters they have a nitro.
So that was our interview with John Degenkolb, who you can see in action in the Ronde van Vlaanderen on Sunday. Final reminder that you can become a friend of the Cycling Podcast at www.thecyclingpodcast.com. You'll find all the information you need there. I'll be back with Richard, Lionel, and we hope Chiro, discussing what we've seen on Sunday in next week's episode. So please tune in for that and enjoy the racing.
Listening to the Cycling Podcast. Thank you to Glass Pear for the music in this episode. For more information and to download more editions of the show, visit thecyclingpodcast.com.